Monday. Actually, this is Thursday. I'm recording this in advance. Again, what is going on? Why do I have to have plans? This is Thursday, but this will come out on Monday. So as long as this episode's concerned, let's pretend it's Monday. I didn't plan an intro. What am I supposed to say? It's Thursday, but that also means it's Monday when you're listening to it. Welcome to the Broken Zipper.
Damn it!
We're having mic stand problems. Hold on.
This is great entertainment here. I'm not even...
Okay. Well, let's pretend it's Monday. It's Monday again, and that means we're heading back to work and still waiting on me, on my job, to see when I get to go back and start filing records again after the tornado. But it seems like I'm going to get to go back to work, so that'll be fun. Also, I got a bunch of shows coming up. A bunch. I have two. When you're listening to this, there's only one on Monday. This Saturday, August 10th, I'm going to be at the Corner Connection in Galesburg, Illinois. It's a bar. It's a free show for people. Come on out. It starts at 6 p.m., which is way early, but it's okay because it's during happy hour. So, yeah, usually shows don't start at 6 p.m., but this one is, and I'm okay with it because it's during happy hour, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in or around Galesburg, Illinois, on Friday, August 10th, coming out to the Corner Connection, we'll have a bunch of fun there. I'm working on a bunch of new material, actually. Most of the show that I'm doing right now, the hour, is new, which is nerve-wracking, because when you don't have a bit that you know works, it's nerve-wracking, because you don't know if you're going to be able to fill your time. You don't know how the show's going to go. But, I mean, I have some stuff in there that I'm pretty confident in, and I know how it works. But a lot of it I'm still feeling out. A lot of the material I'm still checking to make sure it's going to work. And, yeah. Like, I got some... You know what I'm saying. I don't know. When you're doing new material, the reason I decided to start doing some new material is because, well, one of the things is I made that, I released an album that is available after my live shows. And, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I am doing something else at the same time as recording this podcast. Okay. All right. Okay. I decided to try some new material. You see, I could have just hit pause and did the work that I wanted to do, but I'm too lazy. I'm too lazy, and I can't talk and type at the same time. My brain completely shuts down. All right. But yeah, I'm doing a lot of new material. The majority of my show right now, the hour, is new, which... It's fun because then you get to kind of try out some new stuff and see what works, but it's also nerve-wracking, like I said, because you don't know what's going to work. But then also, that's also fun because then sometimes you get surprised with a joke. You're like, oh, I didn't know that would work. So yeah. So if you're coming on out to the Corner Connection, you're going to see a lot of new stuff. But yeah, I was talking about my album. I have an album available after live shows. It's called Little to No Improvement. It chronicles my early stand-up. It includes my first stand-up show all the way up to a show I did in 2017. So that's exciting. Available after my live shows. Yeah, I'm working on a big chunk of material. I actually need to write some more stuff so that I can replace stuff that's the new stuff and doesn't work with stuff that may work. I need to start going to clubs, like open mic nights, Penguins, that's where I go usually, and testing things out one at a time and working on the subtlety of it. But right now with the shows I'm doing, I kind of like doing the material pretty loose, because then you can find new ways to come at it which is fun for me. I like finding new ways. Oh, we know what that means. It's time for a buzz cut update. This week's buzz cut update. The hair is growing at a decent rate. It's still buzzed. I still completely regret buzzing my hair. But it's growing, and it doesn't look horrible. Right now, my biggest struggle with the buzz cut is deciding which looks better, without a beard or with a beard. And we discovered that when I wear my glasses, it looks better. But I can't figure out if it looks better with or without a beard. Because a lot of guys that have buzz cuts also have beards. So I think that might be the way to go. I don't know. But hopefully this will be back to normal. I think it'll be back to normal by the middle of September. That's this week's buzz cut update. Oh, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, I wanted to talk about the podcast a little bit, about where you can listen to it, and and some things that happen on the podcast that you may not be aware of. Some of the inside stuff. This podcast is available on a thing called Castbox. And I actually shared it with a bunch of other podcast sharing sites, so I don't know exactly everywhere that it's at. But if you go to tinyurl.com/brokenzipper, that's the best place to listen to the podcast. But if you do it on a phone, Castbox only lets you view the last 5 episodes, the latest 5, until you download the app. If you download the Castbox app, you can go clear back to all the stuff that we've uploaded. And actually, there's a lot of good stuff on Castbox. So if you're looking for a podcast app, there's a bunch of popular ones. Joe Rogan's on there. Segura's on there. A bunch of stuff. WTF is on Castbox. There's a bunch of great stuff there if you want to check out. If you want to listen on your phone to all the episodes of The Broken Zipper,
damn it!
Download the Castbox app, or you can listen to it on your computer. Because when you go to tinyurl.com/brokenzipper on your computer, it brings up all of the episodes. So if you don't want to download the app, which I don't know why you wouldn't, but we're not being paid. We're not being paid at all to make this podcast. I want that to be clear. You guys could tell, couldn't you? You knew we weren't being paid just by the quality, didn't you? You knew it. You could sense it, that there was no money being made here. But if you go on the computer to tinyurl.com/brokenzipper, it brings up... Is that the right website address? Oh, good. Whew! Whew, I was really nervous that I was saying the wrong website address. It brings up all the episodes, but if you do it on your phone, tinyurl.com/brokenzipper, it'll give you the latest 5, unless you download the Castbox app. And also, it's also on SoundCloud. But SoundCloud, there's even fewer episodes. I think SoundCloud, I have 3 at a time, maybe? It's got the latest 3, and that's because SoundCloud only allows a certain amount of space without paying for it. And since this podcast is just me, it's not being sponsored or anything, I'm not going to pay for SoundCloud. I'm thinking about making the SoundCloud just like a highlights thing, like picking my favorite episodes, like having 2 of my favorite plus the latest one and just changing them in and out, but I'm too lazy to do that right now. So, the best place to check out all of the episodes of The Broken Zipper is at tinyurl.com/brokenzipper on a computer, because then you can view all of them, and it's the best way. That's the best way to do it, is get on your computer, tinyurl.com/brokenzipper. It'll bring you all the way back to the first thing we uploaded. Or just download the app. Either way. SoundCloud too, but it's not as much on SoundCloud. We don't have as many things up. And that's because, and if we get a, if we keep doing this and somebody wants to, if we get a sponsor, it'll, eventually I'll just, yeah, we'll just pay for SoundCloud. But until then, no. Okay. Also, we're, I guess we'll talk about this. I wasn't going to, but I will. I submitted it to iTunes to see if we could get on iTunes, and I did that like after episode 2, and we're still waiting. So, waiting on that review there, iTunes. Anytime you want to say yes, you just let me know, because I am sitting here just waiting. So maybe it's, I don't know. If we get on iTunes, you'll definitely know about it. But that could happen. It probably won't, though. That would be cool to be on iTunes. I would like that a lot. So some inside stuff about the Broken Zipper. I wanted to talk about some of the stuff that goes on. Like, at the end of every episode, we play that little exit, the end music, and I talk over it for a while. And then it gets louder all of a sudden. Well, that's a game I play with myself. Because the music is loaded onto a soundboard button that I push. And I race the music every week, trying to get all the information in that I need to get in before the music gets loud again. And sometimes I'm really good at it, but then other times I'm not. So that's why I sound so hurried at the end when I'm running through all the information. It's because I'm trying to, it's fun for me to try to beat the music. Doesn't always work, but it's fun. You can hear it in my voice when I don't make it. When the music goes back, when the music crescendos and I missed it, that always ruins my life. Oh, another thing, like, when there's usually a long pause, it's because I'm panicked and I'm like, I have nothing to say. Or if I'm talking and it sounds like I'm not making any sense, it's because I'm on my phone talking to somebody. I'm texting or something. It's the kind of person I am. I'm busy, guys. That was a joke. I'm not that busy. Oh, speaking of rim shots. Allison and I went to Des Moines a couple weeks ago, and we went into Guitar Center, because I am a member of the string club. I get discounted guitar strings. I mean, that's no big deal or anything. And I always mess around with the drum kits there, because I like playing electronic drums and all that stuff. And I did a rim shot, and one of the guys that worked in the drum area told me I was doing it wrong. I'm supposed to hit the kick drum as you hit the cymbal. So my rim shots have now improved. You hit the snare twice, ba-dump, and then you also hit the kick drum. I didn't know that, so that's exciting. This is what happens when I ramble. what else did I want to talk about? I'm also, when I say that, it means I'm looking at my notebook where I made notes of what I want to talk about. I'm trying to decide if there's anything else I want to say before I get into the thing I was going to talk about. Oh, if you're interested in booking me for a performance, I am available for live shows. I do about an hour, a little more and stuff, depending on the crowd and if I play with people or not, but the best way to get a hold of me, you can actually go to Facebook. I have recently become addicted to Facebook. I'm on it all the time. You can message me on that. Or go to my website, carlgnetto.tumblr.com. And that's CARLGNETTO. And the reason I made it that is I didn't want to make people try to spell my actual last name, G-I-A-N-N-E-T-T-O. But I think Gnetto is still a struggle for people. But I'm going to stick with that because that's what all my social meds is too. Yeah, follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm all at Carl G. Netto. I also got some shit on YouTube, like two clips, but you don't need to worry about that. That's my YouTube clips are mainly when somebody says, "Do you have any videos?" and they're trying to book me. But yeah, if you have a venue, I will show up. That's the way that my booking policy works. Ugh. So yeah. Okay, I think that's all I wanted to say. Let's get into what I wanted to talk about. About a week ago, probably wasn't that long, I was getting on Netflix, because I have that kind of time, and I found a documentary. The picture was Mel Brooks, and I was like, oh, so I just clicked it, which I don't do very much. I don't just all of a sudden decide to watch something, which is what I need to get better at. I need to get better at not getting so stuck in the binge idea. Like, I get, like, obsessions with shows, just like and you guys know, I get obsessed with things very easily. I get stuck in routine. Like right now, I'm binging a show on YouTube I like. I'm watching all the episodes, and it's all I'll watch. Like, if I have watch time, I'm watching that. Which, I need to learn how to move from place to place and be okay with it. Am I getting an echo?
Who?
I think I hear an echo. What am I reverberating off? What would be reverbing? There's nothing in here. I wonder if it's the door. Hold on a second. I'm going to hit the pause button. Okay. I can't tell what it is making the noise. I think it was partially the drum kit. I don't know if you guys could even hear it. So I don't know why I bring this stuff up. But it might just be the machine making a noise. I don't know. I can't tell. Anyway, I'm just going to ignore it. Whenever I think there's audio issues, it completely distracts me. And I get anyway. I don't know why. We focus on that a lot on this show. We're really worried about the noises. I don't know why I get so worried about it. Because it doesn't matter. Nobody's even listening. So why do I care? Why do you care, Janetto? Okay. What was I talking about? Oh, my obsessions with shows I watch. So it was out of the ordinary for me to just see something and click on it, because I never do that. I always think about what I'm going to watch, you know. But I saw the picture of Mel Brooks, and I remember seeing an advertisement somewhere for this movie. It's a documentary, and I wanted to watch it for a while, so I watched it. And it's called The Last Laugh. And I didn't know what it was about even. I had no idea. I'd seen an advertisement for it once, but then it's about jokes about like tragedy and horrible things. It was mainly focused on Holocaust jokes, mainly what it was through a Jewish people's perspective on those. That's what it mainly was. It focused on it followed some Holocaust survivors around and showed them material about Jewish material, people jokes about being Jewish from Jewish comedians, and the showed their different perspectives on it. And one of the ladies was actually, she laughed at a lot of the jokes, but another one of them didn't. She was not she dealt with it a different way. It's a pretty good documentary if you're at all interested in comedy. But it interviewed a lot of different comedians, specifically Jewish comedians, because that's mainly what it was about. But it was about more than that too, because it talked also a little bit about different other tragedies that people make jokes about. But the main focus was it talked a lot about how Jewish people dealt with the Holocaust through humor, which sounds weird, but it made a point of how important laughter and jokes are to deal with tragedy. Like if you think about every tragic event that happens recently, There's a joke about it that day. There's a guy on Twitter making the joke about it. There's the comedian if will make a joke about that, because that's how people deal with tragedy. Like, for me personally, anything in my life that goes bad, like if there's something wrong, you grieve over it for a little bit. I deal with it, but then comes the joke. The joke happens, but I think of the joke way too early, but I don't verbalize it right away, which I think is important, because I kind of feel out, like, even if it's somebody I'm close to, if there's a issue, if there was something, I feel out whether or not the joke's going to be all right. Because I don't want to be the guy that makes the joke about the thing you're upset about, but I also want to, because a lot of times when somebody is struggling with something like a death or anything like that, the joke fixes it for a minute. Even if it's just for a minute, it fixes it for that amount of time. If you're going, like, for me, like, a joke takes away the seriousness of the moment and brings you back. It puts a new, that's just my, I'm just rambling, but that's what I took from the movie. Some of my favorite quotes from the movie, one was from Mel Brooks was telling a story, because Mel Brooks was a stand-up comedian for a while. I don't know if people knew that or not, but he was. And he was talking about a show he did, and he made a Hitler joke. And somebody came up to him after the show and told him that was in poor taste. And he said, "I don't give a shit." Which shows the attitude of a comedian really well, because if you're going to make the jokes, you have to stand by it. You have to be able to defend the joke. And that's what he was doing. He defended that joke by, "I realize it's in bad taste. That's what I'm making the joke about." And if that comedians, if they make an offensive joke, most of the time they realize that it's offensive. Most of the time. Not all of the time. Most of the time. There's comedians are messed up in the head, but they're not so messed up to not understand why that joke is offensive. They know that. Most of the time. Sometimes comedians are complete idiots and they're like, "What?" Like, but that the "I don't give a shit" attitude is, if you're going to make those kind of jokes, it's a great attitude to have. Sarah Silverman had a great line in the movie. It was, "You can't control how your joke will be inferred, because once you say it, it's no longer yours." That's confusing, but it makes sense, because once you say something out loud, it's not a private thought anymore. You're not, especially if you share it in a public forum, people have different reactions to how everything is said, and I should have thought about how I want to say that. Like, as soon as you tweet something, it's out in the world, and that means it's not really yours anymore. It's open to interpretation. Everything you say in a public forum is going to be thought of in a different light from different people. Which is, I guess, okay, but I don't know how to. I like that sentiment, though, because you can't really control. Like, people get offended on a joke that wasn't even offensive. Like, and that happens because you can't. I don't know how to say this. You can't really put intent into a joke, I guess. Like, everybody has a different situation that day. Like, people's attitudes on jokes can change by the day. And it's not really anybody's fault, because you don't, when you make an offensive joke, the comedian doesn't, you, an audience, I don't know how the fuck to say this. Why did I just, God damn it, Janetta. I'm actually getting mad at myself. When you make an offensive joke, the audience, everybody sees that joke differently, I guess is the best way to say that. They're going to take it however they're going to take it. And if they already don't like you, they're going to be more likely to take it harder. I'm going to get off this part because I don't know how to say it. So I'm just going to move on to my favorite quote from the whole movie. Was from the actual movie. It was from a voiceover. It wasn't from an interview. But I really like this joke. This quote. Humor is the weapon of the weak. I like that joke. At first, I didn't understand what it meant, but then I started thinking about it. And like, when you make jokes about something, it's usually like you make a joke about your boss or your parents or the president or even a wife or girlfriend you're mad at, but you still love. You're stuck because you're the weak one in the moment because you still want this. You make the joke about your boss, you still need the job, so you're the weak one, so you make the joke to deal with it. Or you're angry at your girlfriend, or you're annoyed with her, you still love her, so you're the weak one because you still need her. You make the joke. And it's how you deal with, I don't know if that's coming across the way I want it to. Humor is the weapon of the weak. You deal with being out of control by making the joke about it. Like the kid who makes a joke about his parents because his parents are the authority figure. When you go against if you make the joke, like your parents, when you're a kid, you make a joke about your parents. Because your parents are the top of the line. They're the ones in control. And it's the joke takes away for a minute some of the power. Jokes level people. Like jokes put everybody on the same level. So a joke, it doesn't matter how high up your power is, a joke about anybody brings them down to earth. Some people handle that better, others don't. But a joke is, when you make a joke about somebody, it's saying that they are, I'm taking away some of your control by making fun of you. This is a really rambly episode. Like, to where I may not upload it, but who are we kidding? I'm going to upload it because I'm too lazy to do this again. If you make, humor is the weapon of the weak. Yeah. If you can make the joke, you take away some of the power, and you make it okay for a minute. A joke makes everything okay for a minute. No matter how weird or troublesome the thing might be, the joke takes it away. So that's, humor is a weapon of the weak was my favorite quote from the movie. But the underlying tone of this entire documentary was, if you bring light on the horrible, like if you make terrible things known, facts, if you make factual horrible stuff known, it makes it real. But then if you can make fun of it, it takes something away from it. Like, again, the parent control or a presidential joke. It takes something away from the seriousness of the moment. And some people aren't okay with that, but other people really dig that. People need that release, the break. Humor, laughter, and jokes are a break. Every time you laugh at something, you're getting a break from life, I guess, would be the way to say it. Yeah. But then you're, but this whole thing is really getting into the psychology of comedy, which can be threatening. You don't want to talk about that all the time. The psychology of comedy is not always a great topic because it ruins it. But, yeah. So I like documentaries like that. I usually only watch them once, but I like those kind of things. So it's called The Last Laugh. It's on Netflix. You'll see the picture of Mel Brooks. He's holding the comb to look like a Hitler mustache. That's the picture for The Last Laugh. And I found it by accident. I'd seen the movie advertised before, and I wanted to see it. So, oh, another movie. I didn't plan on talking about this. Bo Burnham's movie, Eighth Grade, is nationwide. That's cool. Like, a comedian that started on YouTube, he's got a nationwide movie. It's like 99% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. The closest it gets to me is an hour away. But I'm going to see if I can still go see it. Eighth Grade. It looks really good. The movie that Bo Burnham made. I haven't even seen it, and I'm going to recommend you go see it. So, I follow everything Bo Burnham does. So, I'll probably end up seeing that movie. I'm going to try to, anyway. Possibly Monday. What? Is that why you're not recording an episode on Monday? Partly. I might be making an excuse to go see a movie. Oh, I just bumped my microphone. What else do we want to talk about? That's all that I had notes on. We could, let's see. Do we want to keep going? I guess we could keep going. Let's go through. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see what I have notes on here. Oh, here's something we could learn about. I've talked about this before in a previous episode, and, hold on a second, let me just make a quick note here. Isn't that exciting? I'm an idiot. I've talked about this before, how I hate it when a shower curtain touches you, especially in a hotel. It's nasty. And I found this article this morning from Mental Floss, which is a great you learn a lot from Mental Floss. Follow the Mental Floss Twitter. It's called Why Does My Shower Curtain Liner Attack Me? And it's let's see if I can find. It's talking about how so this is from Mental Floss. It's, liners have a tendency to billow inwards during showers, enveloping themselves around our calves and forcing us to swat them away. As problems go, it's fairly innocuous. But that doesn't mean science hasn't tried to understand the physics behind the phenomenon. So they're saying that this weird thing of shower curtains touching you has been explored by scientists, which I love. And then the article goes on. Back in 1938, popular science theorized that liners were behaving badly as a result of air currents. When hot air from the warm water rises, cold air around the tub seeks to replace it, causing the liner, which is in between, to grow agitated. What? This explanation seems to satisfy people for a while, until people pointed out that the liners tend to move even during a cold shower. So, others believe that the liner was acting as a result, blah, 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 which to do there, I'm not going to try to pronounce that, fluid moving decree, blah, 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 blah. In 2000, okay, so here we go. In 2001, someone finally had the means and motivation to examine this theory more closely. David Schmidt, an assistant professor at the University of Massachusetts, used computer software to develop to examine fluid spray to assist in diesel and aircraft engines to put Berlioni's, to put this theory to the test. This being 2001, it took his home PC 2 weeks to run the simulation, which Schmidt programmed and replicated a typical shower rod, curtain liner, showerhead. Schmidt found that the shower spray created a vortex with a low pressure region, a little like the center of a cyclone. That region is what sucks the liner inward. Okay, so what it's saying is the reason your shower curtain sticks to you is because the pressure from the shower creates a cyclone type thing, and it sucks it in directly. Well, that's interesting. So, what it's basically saying is you're not supposed to have shower curtains. Attention, hotels of the world. No one wants a shower curtain. Get a shower door. Shower curtains are gross. Showers are not designed, backed up by science. They are not designed to work with showers. Case closed. I have a gavel. I keep a gavel on my desk, the podcast desk, and I just hit it. This gavel actually has a funny story. I was in college, and I had this history class, and this guy, I talked to him probably 4 times, and he reached into his bag, and he pulled out a gavel, and he looked really confused. And I was like, you just carry a fucking gavel everywhere? And he goes, apparently. And I thought it was the best thing ever, and he gave it to me. So that was really nice. And it's a really nice wooden gavel. So now I have 2 gavels. I have 1 gavel that I don't know where it's at. It's my dad's, because my dad has a degree in auctioneering. And when you graduate from auctioneer college, they give you a gavel. So yeah, I keep a gavel on my desk. I think that's going to be a new thing. Case closed. We're going to do that when we make a realization. So at least we figured out why shower curtains want to stick to you. What else could we do? Should we do something else or should we move on? Should we move on? Let's do one more thing. This is something I like to do when I get bored. We should be more organized here today, but we're not. Can you also tell I'm not ready to quit recording? Which I should be because I have a lot of work to do, but you know me. One of my things I do when I get bored is I start talking to Google. Because it's kind of... Google Assistant is kind of like a Siri. It's a little different, but I do it a lot and I get in arguments and I get in full conversation. So that I thought it might be kind of fun to just have a conversation with Google real quick. Okay, Google. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. What can I help you with?
Can you fart?
Sure, I'll take the fall for this one. And I'll fart again to clear all doubts.
Your phone will fart for you, ladies and gentlemen. you can blame your phone for farting. Did you know that? If you have Google Assistant and you start talking about farts, it'll fart for you. Lewis Black used to have a joke about that. My phone farts for me. Can you fart again?
You got me. I farted. It was me. Definitely not someone else in the room.
You didn't do it that time. Isn't that this is what I do. If I get bored enough and I'm trying to kill time, I have spent 2 hours talking to my phone before. Are you hungry?
I'm hungry for knowledge.
That was stupid. That one wasn't good. I'm going to ask it, what do you like to eat?
I like easily digestible facts, and I like regurgitating them, too. Want to hear a fun fact?
Sure.
USAtoday.com says that despite having her name on one of the world's most popular amusement parks, Dolly Parton can't get on any of its rides because she has motion sickness.
We would have never known that hadn't I decided to start talking about farts on my phone? Dolly Parton can't even go to her own amusement park because she gets motion sickness. That was interesting. This is technology. We created this. Let's do another one. One more fun fact.
NationalGeographic.com says that an Arctic fox's litter can include up to 14 pups.
That it made a fox noise. It barked like a fox.
Let's do this. Hang on a second. I'm getting a call. Just a second. I will be right back. Okay, sorry about that. I had to take a call. I don't know why I apologize, because you don't know that I took a call because I hit the pause button, which I have done before. Anyway. So, we're playing with Google Assistant, and it just told us that an Arctic fox litter can include up to 14 pups, which I didn't care about. But this is something I care about. What does the fox say?
Ring ding 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 a ding and wah pop 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 pow. Or so I've heard.
And that's where we're going to leave it today. That's exactly what the fox says. You guys remember that video? Okay. Well, thanks so much for listening. All the music and sound effects for this podcast are provided by the YouTube free-to-use audio library. This was a great episode. I'm so glad we did this. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Carl Genetto. Check out my website, carlgenetto.tumblr.com. And make sure you follow the podcast Twitter at Broken Zipper Pod, because that's the best place to talk to us and find stuff out about the show. You can listen to this on SoundCloud and tinyurl.com/Broken Zipper. Thanks so much for tuning in.